All right, it's good to be here this evening. If you have your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, where we're going to take our text here this evening. And again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here, to be able to preach the Word of God. Amen. I want to thank the church real quickly for putting us up and putting up with us. Amen. And we certainly appreciate the meals and the fellowship that we've had. Brother Hunt took me and Brother Patton all home this afternoon after we stayed and fellowshiped. I had to pick his brain for a while. And I appreciate you bringing us on and just all that you've done for us. Amen. We sure appreciate you and appreciate what the Lord's doing in this church and in our lives at this time. Amen. If you have your Bibles, look in Genesis chapter number 12. We'll get right to the preaching here this evening. Genesis chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 all the way to the first half of verse 4. And so that's where we'll take our text and we'll begin reading right away. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And I want you to notice the first half of verse 4. The Bible said, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll look at this message tonight on the call of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. Lord God, Jesus said in John 15, "Without me ye can do nothing." Lord, we realize that tonight. We stand in need of thy presence, and we stand in need of thy power. Lord, we know that as we preach the word of God, it automatically has unction. The Word of God automatically has a power that is associated that goes with it when it's preached. But Lord, we need, as the man, to stand here tonight and preach, Lord, not with words that are puffed up, not in the vanity of our minds, but we need to be able to preach in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so, Lord God, I pray that it go beyond us, and I pray that thy sweet Spirit would work in hearts, because God, we need you. We've already sang that tonight. We need you. I need you as the preacher, but we need you as the church, oh God. We need to hear from heaven in these matters that we're going to preach about. And so I pray, God, you'd work and move. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching this evening for a few minutes here on the call of God, and I guess I'll give another title in just a bit, but that's the subject matter that we want to deal with. And as we look at this passage in the context, we see that God began to unfold His plan of redemption through this man by the name of Abram. You know the story. God created the world, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Man sinned against God. God gave man a promise in Genesis 3 that a Redeemer's coming, puts him out of the garden. And boy, we get through Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. We get through the flood. And then God disperses mankind after the flood. And man, I mean, just given a little bit of time, man rebels against God, because men are rebels by nature. And God had been dealing with men and dealing with men, and now they've rebelled against him again. And we come into Genesis chapter 12, and it's almost as if God looked over the portals of glory and he was looking for a man that he could use, not necessarily a family at this time, but a man that he could use to begin to unfold his plan of redemption for the world. And he found that man in Abram. Amen. And God, and I'm telling you, from Genesis 1 through 11, there's a whole lot of history there. But from Genesis 12 all the way to the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, amen, we read about Abraham's family. God started unfolding his plan of redemption through one man, one ordinary man, one normal man like anybody else, just a man, amen. But God leaned over the portals of glory and God called that man. And God said to that man, "It's time to get out. You're going to have to leave your family, and you're going to have to leave your friends, and you're going to have to leave your fortune and fame, and you're going to have to follow me and go to a place that I'll show you." If I could preach, I guess, on this thought tonight, I'd just preach on that to everybody here, but especially the younger folks here. Get out. Get out. God came to Abram and God said, "Get out. Abram, get thee out." And I want to preach on that here this evening. I want to just give maybe 3 points and some sub-points underneath those. And pray for us as we preach. I'm nervous as all get out. Amen. But pray for us as we preach. We need the touch of God tonight. We see, first off, as we begin to look at the call of God in Abram's life. And the reason I've chosen this text is because I believe God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And I believe that there's principles that we learn about the call of God in Abram's life that we can apply to the call of God today.
here we are years and years, thousands of years later, and that same God is in that same heaven, and He's looking out over the portals of glory. You mark it down. And He's looking at the Island Ford Baptist Church tonight, and those that are here tonight. He's here tonight. Amen. We've already met with Him. He's looking tonight. I promise you, He's here and He's looking. We're not preaching anywhere else tonight. We're preaching here. God's looking here. And you say, well, what do you mean when you say God's looking here? That He's looking over the portals of glory. I promise you, as long as there's a God in heaven who sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and as long as there's people in this world that have never heard the gospel one time, as long as there's people in this world who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time, that same God is looking over the portals of glory, trying to find a man that'll go to Japan, that'll go to Thailand, that'll go to Africa, that'll go to Australia, Asia. God's looking for men that'll say, by the grace of God, I'll go. Amen. I'll be that man. God's looking for men that He can use to unfold His plan of redemption to the world. Amen. He's looking. You mark it down. He's looking. I believe it. Well, let's talk about the call of God, because the same God that called Abram, you'll never convince me in a crowd this size, in a church like this tonight, you'll never convince me that He's not looking to call someone tonight. You'll never convince me with between 2.8 and 3.5 billion people on this planet that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. And you know, Brother Blue always said, what kind of a God would send His Son to die on the cross in the awful manner He did and then fail to tell someone to go reach those people with the message of His Son? Amen. You can mark it down. There's a God in heaven, and He sent His Son to die for the world. You can also mark it down that half the world you're living in right now, son, half the world you're living in right now has never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. And that God is looking to send men and women around the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the call of God. Number one, as we look at this call, it came in the form of a command. I mean, God didn't come to Abram and said, if you feel like it, it'd be a good time to start following Me. He didn't say, Abram, if you feel like it, I think it'd be a good time for you to maybe have a little counsel with your wife and family. And if everybody's in agreement, then go ahead and follow Me to a land that I'll show you. That's not how God came to Abram. The call of God normally comes in the form of a command. Amen. God said, Abram, get thee out. Amen. That's pretty clear. If Abraham hadn't got out, he'd have been disobedient to the call of God. Well, God's call was personal. Now let me just say this real quickly. I got to throw a disclaimer in here. I know that we all have a general call to reach our world with the gospel. Amen. The Bible said, go ye into all the world. We all have a general call. But that's not the call I'm talking about this evening. Amen. If you're here, there's some of you here, God will never call you to preach. We know God will never call a lady to preach. Amen. He'll never call a lady to pastor a church. We get that. We understand that. Amen. And so I understand tonight that there is a general call that all of us have. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching tonight on the specific call of God. Because I believe God calls men into the ministry. I believe God calls men to pastor. I believe God calls men to be missionaries. I believe that. So, let's talk about it. God's call, this command, it was personal. The Bible said, now the Lord said unto Abram. God met personally with Abram. Now I want to make it very clear here that God's calling is personal to Abram, and I believe if God calls you, it'll be personal to you as well. I know it sounds like a terrible answer, but people say, how do you know God's calling you to preach? How do you know God's calling you to be a missionary? All I know how to say is you'll know. Amen. You'll know if it's God. When I was a little boy, I'm going to tell you something. If I ever got in trouble, my dad, he had a way of saying, James Bethy Ruppin. And I never one time turned around and said, what about my dad calling me? I knew that was my dad calling me. And I'm telling you, when someone as big as God the Holy Ghost leans out over the portals of glory, it'll be just as real to you as it was to Abram in that day. God's calling has always been a personal calling. Did not God reach out to Moses with a burning bush? Pretty personal, amen. A burning bush just for Moses, amen. Did not God reach out to Isaiah? In Isaiah chapter number 6, there's Isaiah. It's between him and God. Whom shall I send and who will go? Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me. Was not God's calling to Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament? Was it not very personal to each one of them? Go study these accounts. God's calling has always been personal. And God's calling today is still personal. God's calling men. God's calling. I'm going to tell you, a lot of men and women ain't responding. But when called to preach them back, a lot of men ain't responding. Amen. But I'm saying God's calling is personal. Amen. Personal. Hey, has God been personal to any of you in the matter of a calling? I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be depressed. If I got depressed, and by the way, I'm honored to be able to preach on the same platform with Dr. Aiken. Amen. But I almost got depressed when he was preaching. He's talking about diabetes. Amen. I got diabetes. And I'm like, he's telling me all these things I got to look forward to. Amen. Man, this is depressing. Amen. I ain't trying to depress all y'all tonight. But look around. The preachers in this room ain't getting any younger. God's men aren't getting younger. The missionaries aren't getting younger. And the pastors aren't getting younger. Man, when I was on deputation in 1997, 1998 to go to South Dakota the first time, can I tell you, I was 23 years old. I was about the youngest missionary. Me and some other guys all in that same age range. And about a year and a half ago, we was on deputation again. And I was 44. And I found out I was pretty much the youngest missionary almost every conference we went to. And I'm going to tell you, something's wrong with that picture. Amen. God's still calling, but people are not responding. Amen. Has God been personal to you in this matter of a calling? Jesus Christ, when he was 12, he said, "Wist ye not that it must be about my Father's business?" He understood, young person. He understood that his Father had a business for his life. Can I tell you, God has a purpose for your life. Jesus Christ said, "For this cause came I into the world." Hey, have you discovered the cause that God has for your life? Amen. We are living in a purposeless generation. I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. Amen. We talk to young men. We talk to young people. Say, do you know what the will of God is? They don't even know what the will of God is, period. Much less what it is for themselves. Amen. We talk to young men that are 25, 30 years old and say, do you know what God's calling on your life is? I don't mean necessarily God called you to preach. I just want to know what your purpose for being on this planet at this time in history is. Do you know what it is? And they look at me with a blank stare. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God created you on purpose, with a purpose, amen. And if you haven't figured out that purpose, now'd be a good time to start looking, amen. A man that shoots at nothing, he hits it every time. Nothing. And we've got a bunch of folks that are taking their lives and shooting at nothing. And they'll have nothing of eternal value at the end of their life because they're shooting at nothing, amen. Oh, listen. God's call, it's a command, and it was personal. Then number two, this personal command, it involves a parting. God said, get thee out of thy country. He had to part. He had to leave some things. I want to say anytime God calls in any manner, it always involves a parting. When I got saved by the grace of God, when I was called to salvation by the Spirit of God, God made it where I had to depart from my sin to follow the Savior. Amen. Because you can't have it both ways. Amen. It's going to be one or the other. When it came to the matter of sanctification after I got saved and God began that work of sanctification in my life, God made it clear. Amen. You can't love the world and love me. You're going to have to leave some things behind. You're even going to have to leave some things behind that ain't sinful things, but it's not expedient for your life and your testimony. Amen. Oh yes, and this call to surrender, if he calls you, it'll involve a parting. I'm telling you, friend, God will call you. He's looking tonight. I promise you on the basis of this Bible and on the basis of our God and on the basis of the fact that we've got 3.5 billion people on this planet that have never heard the gospel. I've looked in too many eyes of kids. I've looked in too many eyes of teenagers and adults in villages in Africa and know that, man, if we don't go back there, ain't nobody ever going to reach those people with the gospel. I mean, listen, do you understand, young people? There are villages, there are nations that you could affect for the glory of God if you would just surrender to the calling of God in your life. It involves a parting. He said, you're going to have to get out. You're going to have to leave some things behind. You're going to have to, I'm telling you, God's calling some. He is. God's calling on some to leave your friends. He's calling on some to leave your family. He'll call on some here tonight to leave your fortunes. He'll call on some to leave everything that you know, your ambitions, your desires, your dream, your careers, your goal, amen, and get swallowed up in the will of God and the passion of God and the purpose of God for your life, amen. I'm telling you, I don't have the time. I've had 8 stomach surgeries. I don't have the stomach to be able to preach everything I want to tonight. But Matthew chapter number 10, read those verses when you go home, amen. Matthew chapter number 10, Jesus Christ just said, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. He brings a sword. And I'm going to tell you something. When he calls, his call always involves getting closer to him and farther away from you. Amen. Every time. The call to follow Christ, the call to be a fisher of men, it involves risk. You may lose your family, and some of you will lose your family on the mission field. There's missionaries here right now that have lost family members on the mission field. Some of you will lose your family. You'll lose friendships. You'll lose financial security. You'll lose fame. You'll lose your physical health. But can I tell you tonight, Brother Patton Hall, hey, that the gains outweigh the losses. Amen. And the crowns one day, they're going to outweigh the crosses. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Number three, God's call was precise. He said, Abram, go to a land that I will show thee. Now maybe you're looking and saying, that's precisely unclear. I mean, he didn't tell me where to go. Can I tell you, if he says, follow me, you can trust him. Amen. Just following him is better than getting all the directions. We already heard about that tonight. Amen. Just follow him. Amen. I'm telling you, some people say, well, I'm going to wait until God shows me when. I'm going to wait till God shows me where. I'm going to wait till God shows me who. You'll be buried before you do anything for God. Amen. You got to start following Jesus now. Amen. God don't show you the who's and the where's all at the same time. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And God talks about the path of the just and how it's a shining light and it shineth more and more. As you take one step in the will of God, as you answer the call of God, that same God, he'll give you the next step and then the next step. And then the next step, just follow him step by step. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, it'll be worth the ride. Amen. If you just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you this. Number two, there's a covenant. I got a roll. There's a calling. It came in the form of a command, but then there's a covenant in verse 2 and 3. He said, Abram, get out. Thou make of thee, in verse number 2, a great nation, and I'll bless thee. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Number one, he said, Abram, there's going to be fruit. I will make of thee a great nation. Now, brother, there's a little problem with this, because when God told this to Abram, he didn't have any fruit. He didn't have any children. God said, Abram, you go ahead and leave the doctors, and you go ahead and leave the hospitals, and you go ahead and leave all those physicians behind that can help you. You go ahead and leave all that's behind. Leave it behind and follow me out onto a desert. Amen. And I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm telling you, if I couldn't be fruitful where fruit's growing, how am I going to be fruitful in a desert place? Amen. He said, Abram, go. Can I tell you? Quit waiting on. You say, well, if God ever gives me some fruit, I'll go serve him. No, you serve God. You got a plant for it. You're going to get some fruit. Amen. I'm just telling you, friends. You follow God, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be fruit. God promised, Abram, I'll make you fruitful. I believe God. Amen. Isaiah 55, the Bible said, my word will not return void. Do you understand that tonight? God, it's impossible to spend your life in the cause of Christ. It is impossible to spend your life sowing the seed of the gospel and come in at the judgment seat of Christ fruitless. Can't do it. That missionary just talked. He's getting me fired up talking over there about we bore fruit. And God gave us fruit. And God gave us fruit. And God gave us fruit. Amen. You know what? You don't get fruit until you start following God. Amen. Some of you say, I want to bear fruit. Well, then start following Jesus. Amen. You ain't going to catch no fish for Jesus if you ain't following him. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishes of men. Amen. Oh, listen. Man, I'm telling you, when I stand before God one day, and I will, just as you will, my soul, man, I want to have all kinds of fruit there. Hey, Brother Goolsby, amen. I want to have fruit, amen. I hope to have a whole lot of African fruit, amen, that I can give to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for them, amen. Oh, listen, there's fruit. By the way, I'll just tell you this too, because some of you say, wait a minute, preacher, that sounds like good preaching, and that sounds like even some camp meeting preaching mixed into a missions conference, and you're talking about fruit and all that positive stuff, but I've served God on a mission field all my life, and I ain't hardly seen anybody get saved. You better listen to me. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 concerning Abraham, the same man that God said, I'll make you fruitful, you know, and I'll make your seed as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. You know what the Bible said about him? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. He didn't see the fruit on this side, but I'm going to tell you something. It's on the other side. Amen. You can't serve Jesus Christ. You may not ever see the fruit on this side, but you stay faithful. Amen. You get in this thing. You can't serve God and not have fruit. Amen. Oh, there's fruit then. Can I tell you that there's favor with God? He said, I'll bless thee. Man, I like to preach right there for a little bit tonight. Amen. You're looking at someone that likes the blessings of God. I like the favor of God. Amen. The old timers talked about the kind hand of providence that was put upon us. Amen. I like the good hand of God on me. Nehemiah said, the good hand of our God was upon us. Brother, I like the good hand of our God upon my family, upon my life, upon my preaching, upon our ministry. I want the good hand of God. I want favor with God. Man, somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you. What are we saying? God give you favor. Amen. I mean, if somebody looked at me and said, well, God's going to curse you, I'd say, quit talking to me. Amen. I don't want to hear that kind of... I want the blessings of God. Amen. I'm telling you, God said, Abram, you go. I'll make you fruitful. Abram, you go. Hey, I'll give you a favor. Then notice this. There's fame. You say, what do you mean fame, preacher? He said, Abram, I'll make thy name great. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there ain't none of us in this thing for fame, right? We're not here. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Ain't one of us here serving God out of a sincere heart that is trying to make a name for ourselves, that's trying to somehow build a reputation or build a legacy. But can I tell you that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you can't make much out of Jesus without Jesus making much out of you. Amen. I promise you, brother, you can go to Utah. You can't give your life to Jesus and make much of Jesus without Him making much of you. There'll be fame. Amen. God in the New Testament says about people who hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ. God said, hold such in reputation. Amen. We ain't trying to get reputation and you ain't either. Amen. But when God says, hold that man. Hey, how many? I think we can all agree. Brother Stanhope Ballou is a man that was held in reputation. Amen. God made his name great because he spent the entirety of his life making the name of God great. Amen. It's true. It's true. I'm telling you. Man, think about the missionaries, the great missionaries of yesteryear. Amen. The Hudson Taylors, the William Careys. They could have went on being shoe cobblers and whatever else they were, and history would know nothing of them. But they gave their lives to God. And God turned countries and God turned continents because they simply followed Him. Amen. I'm telling you, follow Jesus. Yeah, there's going to be crosses. Yeah, there's going to be hard road ahead. You can't take up a cross without it hurting you. Amen. We so misunderstand the cross in our generation, it's pitiful. Man, I'm trying to get done. Listen to me. We so misunderstand the cross. Man, we go into churches, they got crosses back here, and I'm for the cross. I preach the cross. Amen. We got ladies wearing gold chains around the neck, and they got a cross on it, and they got cross earrings. I'm going to tell you, if you could just back up about 2,000 years ago, and I'm telling you, you'd have walked into a Roman place, and you'd have had a set of earrings with crosses on, they'd have said, what in the world are you wearing? Say, what do you mean? Well, get yourself a little electric chair. Put gold around it and put it on a chain around your neck. Amen. Get two earrings, electric chair in both. Or a noose. Why? I mean, we didn't come to church tonight and see a noose hanging on the wall. You say that's an instrument of death. That's exactly what the cross is. We've so preached the cross, we've become callous to the cross. Amen. It's an instrument of suffering and it's an instrument of death. It is. And he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up that cross. You're going to have to deny yourself. The word deny, it means to disown. That's why people aren't answering the call of God. Because they don't want to disown themselves. I want my life. I've got things painted the way I want it to be painted. I want to do this. I want to go there. This is what I want my career to be. Can I tell you? God said, you're going to follow me. You're going to have to deny yourself. Take up a cross and follow. But he said, hey, I'll make your name great in the process. Hallelujah. Number three, the compliance. Notice the compliance here. See, these first two parts, it's just completely on God. God said, Abram, get thee out. That's the call of God. God said, Abram, I'll make thy name great. I'll make you fruitful. That's God. But the first half of verse number 4, the Bible said, so Abram departed. That's not God. That's Abram. I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, God keeps calling you. God keeps knocking at your heart's door. And by the way, He's not obligated to keep knocking at your heart's door. But God keeps knocking at your heart's door. God keeps talking to you. God keeps saying, I want you. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to follow me. I want to put the call to preach on your life. And you keep saying, well, I'm just waiting until I know what all that means. I'm just waiting until I know where it means I might end up. I mean, I don't want to end up in Africa or nothing. Amen. I better make sure. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There comes a point you're just going to have to stop all that mess. Amen. Stop dialoguing with God. If God said, get out. If God was personal, then just get on the altar and get personal with God and say, I'll go, Lord. Amen. This compliance, it involved the will of Abram. The Bible said, so Abram departed. Will involves choice. Abram could have disobeyed. He could have. He could have disobeyed, but he didn't. He could have disobeyed, and so could you. We've heard from three men already tonight that haven't. You could disobey. God could be calling you right now. I don't know if He is. Amen. He could be. I believe He's calling someone in this room. I just do. I believe it with all my heart. You'll never, I'm telling you, I'm backing up the, you'll never convince me that God's not calling people when the Bible still says He is. You say, where do you see it in the Bible? In Isaiah chapter number 6. That's a living book. That's a living, breathing book. Amen. He said, whom shall I send and who will go? Amen. God's still calling through the pages of Scripture. Amen. God's calling. Amen. You know He's calling. People ain't responding.
Right.
Oh, listen. But Abram responded. What about you? If God called you to get out, if God called you to leave, God called you to go to a place, and I'll show you, as you follow me, I'll show you where the place is one day. You just follow me. Would you follow? Could it be said of you, and he departed, and she departed, and they departed, their family, going together for the glory of God. That's compliance. Number two, and I want you to get this. If you missed everything else tonight, you need to get this, and young people especially, you need to get what I'm about to tell you. This involved the Word of God, the calling of God. The calling of God. It involved the will of Abraham. Abram's will is compliant to the command of God. So Abram departed. It involved will, but it involved the Word of God. The Bible said, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. You say, what, preacher, what are you saying there? Here's what I'm saying here. There's a lot of folks that have come forward, and traditionally and historically have come forward after a message like this because the preacher made an emotional appeal.
Yeah.
I'm for preachers being emotional.
Sure.
I'm for preachers making an appeal. Amen. But people have bowed and they've surrendered and they've mistook either making themselves available to God or they've mistook the actual call of God, and they'll come forward and they'll make a decision because of the word that the preacher gave.
Right.
It's an emotional-based decision.
Right.
Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. You come down to this altar tonight and say, well, God's calling me and I'm going to go. And you say, well, because Brother Ruckman preached this. Man, I'm telling you, you missed it. Brother Ruckman can't call nobody. Amen. It's God that calls people. Amen. But I do want to say, don't use that little emotional business as an excuse either why you won't follow. Because I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'd follow Jesus and I'd be a missionary to this place and I'd go over here and I'd go over there and I'd surrender to preach. But I'm afraid it might be emotional. Don't make that excuse either. There's a ditch on both sides of the road there. Amen. There is. If God's calling you and you know it's God, why do you sit here and not answer the call of God? I'd be in the altar now. Amen. Answering the call of God. I would. If I thought for a minute God was calling me, touching my heart, dealing my heart, I'd be on this altar getting my heart right with God. Amen. And surrendering. I would. Oh, yeah. It involved the Word of God. It involved the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God will never lead contrary to the Word of God. Ever, ever, ever. Number three, I'm done. This compliance of Abraham, it involved the will of Abram. It involved the Word of God. But it also involved, and here's a choke point for a lot of people, a work of faith.
Yeah.
Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. What caused him to be able to step out of the Ur of the Chaldees and start walking, following a God that he could not see, going to a place that he'd never been to, didn't know where it was. Amen. What caused him to do that? Faith in the Word of God. Amen.
Right.
Faith in the Word of God. This is a faith promise missions conference. Is that not right? This is a faith promise given. We ask everybody, preacher, we do. I'm all for it. I'm all for asking people to give money to missions. Amen. We ask people, step out on faith. Amen. Has God touched your heart about a number yet this year? I'm going to tell you, it's Friday night of the meeting. If God hadn't touched your heart yet, I'd be praying all night until God touched my heart. Amen. I wouldn't wait till Sunday to say, well, God's going to do something on Sunday. Why wait till Sunday? Start praying now. Well, I'm just telling you, if God hadn't given you a figure and it's Friday night, I'd be on an altar getting a figure. Amen. You say, well, I'm not going to go down there and pray about it. Then listen, if you're not going to make a commitment to God, then you're pretty much making a commitment that you're not going to make a commitment to God. Amen. Just get on the altar if God hadn't showed you and find out. And I'm going to tell you something as well. I'm going to tell you something else about faith promise given. And I'm trying not to preach on this part. I want to preach on the going part. Amen. But listen, I'll tell you something about faith promise given. Amen. Faith promise given will always be a work of faith. Amen. And God's always going to stretch your faith. Amen. He just is. Amen. God's going to lead you and God's going to guide you. Amen. To grow in the grace of giving and to grow in faith. So if you're sitting here saying, well, I believe God might be calling me to cut it back about $50 a month this year. Amen. I can pretty much assure you God's not calling you to cut it back $50 a month. Amen. Our missionaries all over the world, our sinners still lost and on the way to hell. Our people dying without ever hurting Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, God won't cause you to decrease. He'll cause you to increase. He will. Amen. I'm just telling you, if I was you and you say, well, God ain't never going to call me to be a missionary, well, let's just talk about the call to give. Amen. He has called you to give. Amen. There's somebody calls to go. We need men to go, but we need money that's given. Amen. And so I'd be on my knees at the altar saying, oh, God, give me the amount. Or I'd be down here filling out a card or however you're going to do it. Amen. I'd be asking for the card ahead of time. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd put my commitment in. The preacher said Sunday morning, my commitment would be in Friday night. Amen. Because I don't want to give Satan an opportunity. Amen. To cause me to question my faith. Amen. The Bible said Abram departed. Amen. Telling you, you say, man, you act like you're excited about giving. I am excited about giving. Amen. God gives me an amount to give. I want to give it. Amen. Because God told me to. I'll leave all the ifs and the whats and the wheres and the hows up to Him. If He told you to give it, just give it to the glory of God. But can I tell you, far more than we need money. And we need money. I'm a missionary. Hey, I'm not asking you to drop my support. Oh, listen, far more than we need money. And we need giving. We need men and going. We have a famine right now in the world of missionaries. We need people. It's no problem for us to stay up here and say, I know. God's going to lead people by faith to give. Can I tell you, I know that God is going to lead people by faith to go. The same person that has to make that willing commitment, say, I'm putting this on the card, this is what I'm going to give. Somebody else has to make that commitment and say, I'm putting it down, I'm giving myself, I'm going. I'm answering the call of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg, Lord, I plead. You said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send. That sending, the definition there means a thrust. It means to impel. It means to push out. God, I pray You would call some men in that manner, oh God, out of this church, out of this meeting, oh God, to reach the world with the gospel of the grace of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.